Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Well, folks, it is now or never, and welcome back. And I hope you're starting to get your mind wrapped around why I love the ratification debates. So with that, let me kind of dive into Feedback Friday, because today's different. We're not going through the ratification debates, and we're doing this really because this is an important election year. As you know, we've got Paul Venable that's absolutely supporting this concept of First Amendment petitions out of Missouri running for the U.S. Senate. We're trying to help him make that a national campaign. And so we will be bringing Paul in as soon as he's available, because, folks, if you don't know how busy it is for a politician in campaigning, let me ask you this. How busy do you think you are? Because most people just don't even have time to sit down and read stuff, because that's everybody's common excuse. So if you're so busy, how busy do you think the politicians are in trying to get your attention? Well, you need to take the time. You need to pay attention, and you need to listen. Because I am telling you, when a politician starts actually teaching and standing up for the Constitution and helping you understand, wow. It's like being fed manna from heaven. Now, Red Pill Expo is coming up, and Mr. Venable, hopefully the soon-to-be U.S. Senate Senator Paul Venable, will be going to Red Pill Expo, and he's going to actually help promote this concept of creating constitutional counties, this concept of using First Amendment petitions in holding your local legislators. When I say local legislators, I mean your county commissioners, your county supervisors, whatever you call them in the parishes of Louisiana. And by all means, give me a call if you're listening from Louisiana. Call me, 425-270-5416. Let us know kind of how it works down there, and let us know, you know, what you call them and all that. But bottom line, the First Amendment right of petition gives you the ability to hold them accountable. This is transparency built into the Constitution. We don't need somebody to, what do you call it when somebody says, I'm going to be doing something, and they do the furthest thing from it? Like Obama, he's going to bring transparency back to the White House. Remember that? And then all of a sudden, you know, Fast and Furious and all these things were getting out, and they did not even want to talk. They actually buried everything they possibly could. Is that transparency? No. And as a matter of fact, there's this old saying, don't piss on my back and tell me it's raining, right? And that's exactly what they've been doing. And we want people, as soon as other people hear and start understanding that we actually have what we need to demand transparency in the Constitution and within our public servants and in our government, wow, how'd that happen? And anybody that's been listening to this show, the words should just roll off your lips. You've listened to this long enough that only the Lord knew what we would need, and he put in there these things that we absolutely need and can use in restoring our hybrid constitutional republic. So with that, I don't want to go through a long list of things before we go through the obligatory. So let me just dive into the obligatories, because next week is Independence Day, and let me just say this. Before we get into the Feedback Friday, all this other stuff, I beg you, because we're going to be doing the ratification debates on Monday instead of doing the typical, you know, Jefferson's original draft of the Declaration of Independence. So you need to find this. You need to actually go and look and read this, and read this to your family, read this to your neighbors. Make sure everybody understands what Jefferson actually put in that Declaration of Independence before the political correctness hacked it up to a point where people actually think that, they didn't mention slavery, they didn't go into, and they ignored some of these things. No, they didn't. And as a matter of fact, Jefferson basically hit King George right between the eyes when he basically called him out and his errors, or I should say, the heritage of the crown of Britain. They're the ones that consigned blacks in America to slavery instead of it being a free market slavery system like they had in England. They instituted a slavery that would beget or begot, whatever you want to say and however you say it, racism in America. And they it's basically fundamental divisiveness. And this is what you can expect when you're dealing with statists or when you're dealing with totalitarian-minded people. That's what King George did. So anyway, go read that. You'll thank me. Thank me many times if you get this and you start doing this on an annual basis, because more and more people will start seeing the Declaration of Independence and our Constitution, our constitutional framework, in a different view than it is in the purified way, so that the South didn't feel bad about, you know, slavery, because it was the South that actually edited those comments out. So anyway, let's get into some of the, with ratification debates, we don't go through these endorsements and so forth. So if you have not pulled in your Wyoming Constitutional, or actually Conservative Chronicle, I received mine today. So if you have not ordered your subscription, you should be getting it any day now, and you should be able to go through this and go, wow, this is interesting. I'm telling you, one of the things I've noticed is newspapers, there's something like two newspapers a day now are going, you know, what do you want to call it? Tango uniform. I mean, they're dying. There are usually two papers a day. That's what was reported in the news just today. So actually, I think it was yesterday. But all that being said, go get your subscription from the Wyoming Conservative Chronicle. Just Google DuckDuckGo, use whatever search engine you trust. I trust DuckDuckGo, Wyoming Conservative Chronicle. Now, I got to also say that this show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org, and you're listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions of where we've been, where we're going, and what we need to do. I'll have to slow down because I think I keep on getting my tongue ahead of myself here. So the other thing I want to do is, because I didn't get a chance to plug all of these things, I'm just going to plug them really quick. If you're ready for financial coaching, you're ready to become financially independent, reach out to Gary Smith at Fortitude Financial Coaching. He will help you. He is a certified coach for the Dave Ramsey School of Finance or what have you. Go to constitutionaleducation.us. Constitution, not constitutional, constitutioneducation.us. That's Keith Broder's website. And timbernation.com for hardwood quality furnishings. You know, Christmas is coming, and I know it's really tight. So why don't you get the family a gift? And it doesn't have to be an entertainment center. It could be something that the family can be centered on. And, you know, but I mean, usually people, the family does gather around the old television box or what have you. Now, it's interesting. My wife and I, we do watch what we'll call a television, but we do not get any television channels. We stopped subscribing to television a while ago. When we moved up here, we just stopped watching it. As a matter of fact, we were paying for it for a couple of years without even using it, and we found ourselves much happier. Our stress level was lower, and so we were just better off. We would challenge you to do the same thing. Anyway, let's also move on to Stan Kluett and RadioDustCovers.com. If you need to cover or protect expensive equipment or gear that you think is, you know, critical to protect, go to RadioDustCovers.com. You'll find that, and he does custom work just like Timber Nation. I love these people that actually do custom work, give you what you want. Excuse me, I had to get something to drink. I've got a dry spot in my throat, and I don't want to cough. I'm trying to not do that because you know, I usually have that frog in my throat, and I'm trying to fight that frog from coming up here. Anyway, our comment line is 425-270-5416, and I cannot not say, go to Ad Local. As a matter of fact, we actually have the link to the Ad Local, I'll just say, what do you want to call it? A turnkey. Yeah, a turnkey website for campaigns. If you're looking to do a campaign, you're going to need $2,500. If you go to somebody else to do this, and you cannot not do a campaign nowadays without being on the net. As a matter of fact, you can't sell your house without it being listed on the internet. I have sold, because when I did the estate for my mother when she passed away, I listed her home on Zillow, and I did a for sale by owner, and it barely took me a month before I started getting nibbles. And within 2 or 3 months, when I actually had it up listed, it took me less than 3 months, I believe, to actually go into, because before we were even hitting Christmas, we were going into the closing. I think the house cleared and sold by January. And I think I listed it in October, early October, maybe late September. Either way, the fact of the matter is that you can't do things today without having an internet presence, whether that be social media or what have you. There's lots of people that try to do their campaigns on what I would say this, you know, Facebook, Telegram, Twitter, those types of things. And you need that, but having a website where people can actually click on a link and go, you know, go into paying donations, the issues, having a website that you can control, go to Ad Local. That's how you do it. That's the way to do it. We'll be right back after this. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so as we get closer and closer to some of the later primaries, the primaries that actually really let you get far more active and involved in discovery and learning about your candidates, all these primaries that have already occurred, early June or even May into March, are you kidding me? You guys need to start complaining. Every person out there, if you think you're in a state that does that, and you think you're being served better by having your primary in March, because the statistics don't lie. Every position is typically determined by the outcome of the primary, because a blue county or a blue district – will actually, you know, vote blue in the general, and whoever they choose in the primary is who's going to win that. I mean, it's a huge, you know, pat on the back. Hey, you know, this is ours to lose. And that's the truth. So how is it that you can actually, especially if you live in a northern latitude state, you know, where there's snow and so forth on the ground, and you're trying to primary, you're trying to get out and campaign? Shoot, people are still sort of sobering up from the holidays. They've still got weather events that keep them from doing what they need to do, and they got to clean up after that stuff. It's the doldrums of summer. Where, oh, well, we, you know, let's do it early. No. What they're doing is they're keeping you from being able to find out and get involved to the level that you need to be involved. So make sure that you start complaining and asking why, and actually start a movement in your state to say, we want, why isn't there primaries in September? That's plenty of time to do your general election. We need to have a few states push it back to September instead of, you know, being the first out the gate in January. Are you kidding me? Now, and I just want to be clear here. It's just a bragging thing, but you basically, what you've done is you've undersold, or I should say actually, you've done a poor job and you've disenfranchised your electorate. You've basically disenfranchised them, and you've undermined their ability to actually have a Republican form of government. This all supports, and you've heard me say this before, this all supports a party form of government by having early primaries. So let's get back to, you know, some of the things that we really need to talk about. One of the things that we want to let you know is we've actually updated the website to where we're starting to list the candidates. As we get closer and closer to the general, we want to make sure that some of these candidates, and many of these candidates, we're going to highlight them, that they still have a primary to go through, like in Wyoming. I believe Missouri still has their primary. Washington State still has a primary. So there are a few states, and most of these states I just mentioned, they do theirs in August. That's a great time to do your primary. I'd prefer to do September after kids get back to school and so forth, and do your final, you know, push on getting down to the details between these candidates. But doing it in January or February or even March or April, that's just ludicrous. Anyway, let me get back to the endorsement page, though. When you start looking at the endorsement page, you'll notice right up there, I want you to pay attention to the endorsements. And I want you to read this information we've created for you, why federal endorsements never come. I've never had an endorsement, a formal endorsement for a candidate. Now, we did have Brian Miller, who was running for U.S. Senate out of Wyoming, that, you know, we backed and we supported. And there's other federal candidates that we've supported, but we haven't done a full endorsement. And the reason why is that unless we've actually conducted a test, and I want to be clear here, you've heard me talk about this before, unless I've actually performed a constitutional test with the candidate, and legitimately that candidate has come back and proven to me that they do understand the Constitution, I will not give them an endorsement for a federal campaign. And I want to do the same thing for the states. But at this point in time, we kind of have to, you know, go to the dance with who we've got. And I don't like that. I do not like that type of paradigm. We have a job in preparing our candidates, in preparing people to challenge these rhinos or these subpar politicians. Whose job is it? It's us, the people. And the problem is everybody's kind of left that to who? The party. Well, we're going to let the party make these decisions. That's the worst thing you could do. Seriously, that is the worst thing we could do in allowing the party to determine who would be the best, unless that party is stuck. I mean, they are, you know, headstrong on demanding full compliance to the Constitution. We don't even have a party. We do not have one party yet. And I've been trying and poking at the Constitution Party. I've been poking. And to be honest, the one party that's the closest is the Independent American Party. The Independent American Party has actually come back and said, you know what? You got a good point. We need to really be focused on this. But they still have not changed their platform. A platform needs to be driven on full compliance with the Constitution. So the best way to do this, folks, the best way to do it is actually have you run and your platform of your campaign, you have to make it compliance of the Constitution. And if you do that, you'll find out how great that is. As a matter of fact, I can't wait to have Paul Venable back on here to talk about, you know, some of the things he's doing on his campaign, because it's sounding good. But I will tell you this, and I'm going to take a little, you know, in, I'll just say an aside and beg and plead for you to actually go so that you can get to his website. Now, we've got the link up there. All you've got to do is go to reclaimingtherepublic.org. And then just go down the right-hand side and look for candidate endorsements. And if you find the candidate endorsements, then okay, then I'll just state the obvious. That's where you go to actually get your, you know, get to the website and get to the donations and get your love to Paul Venable. Why is this so important? Folks, if you're running, you know, let's call it a beer budget campaign. You know, you don't have a lot of money. And so you need money to do that. How much money does it cost nowadays? And I know I'm preaching to the choir. It costs a lot of money to drive around your state every day. As a matter of fact, I heard that from Art. And I guess the one thing that was nice about Idaho and their primary being in May, gas was much cheaper. I'm sure that Art would be just flabbergasted to go, how could I have afforded to do this? I mean, the cost of gas is just going up. Shoot, diesel in Washington State, I noticed just the other day, diesel is over $6. Over $6. This is unacceptable. So anyway, so my point is that, you know, what you need to do is you need to go to the Reclaiming the Republic and you go to the constitutional... help me out here. Go to the Constitutional Endorsements page. Thank you so much. And it's right there on the right. Let me see. It's Home, Constitutional Articles, Constitutional Minutes, Archives, Constitutional Counties. And Constitutional Counties is a new page we're going to be setting up for you. Constitutional Perspectives, Take Action, the Red State Talk Radio. And underneath Red State Talk Radio are the candidate endorsements. You click on that. And there you go. You'll actually see and be able to click on Paul Venable's, you know, donation. I'm clicking on his donation right now. Excuse me. I just clicked on it, and it sent me to his webpage, and lo and behold, it worked. The Advanced Cause of Liberty, donate now. Boom, there you go. So now you have the ability to directly and we've made it very easy for people to donate. So let me move forward with Feedback Friday. So one of the things I have heard, and I've gotten lots of people wanting to ask me, well, why don't you talk about this? And why aren't you talking about that? And so forth. Well, we'll get into that. But what we want to do is we want to help you understand that when you listen to all of these other hosts that I know you're listening to, then you're going to find yourself, maybe I can use the word frustrated because I'm frustrated. But if you're not frustrated when you listen to, let's just say, you know, Charlie Kirk, the Glenn Beck, Sebastian Gorka, the Mark Levin Show, Sean Hannity, all of these really popular conservative entertainers, they're not telling you, and they're not, when they talk about the Constitution, they're not really talking about the actual Constitution. They're talking about a perversion or a poor interpretation of what is constitutional. And so if you're actually listening to conservative entertainers, you're being misinformed. And I hate to tell you that the best thing you can do is call and complain and ask them, why can't they be more like G.R. Mobley? But the reality is, there's no money in that for them. If the more you understand, the more you'll start realizing that you have to do something. And so what we want you to do is we want you to actually start thinking in context to the Constitution. And so we're going to be going into a break. And last time I got really close to actually bleeding into it, if I didn't. But what we want to do is we want to talk about some of the conversations that I'm being hit with by some of the callers or some of our listeners on why some of these things that they're talking about, like these conservative entertainer shows, is really dangerous and what they're telling you. We'll be right back after this.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so I get it. We're not talking about the news cycle. And okay, it's great that the Supreme Court is making news. Well, maybe this, I truly believe these are mixed blessings. And I truly believe that we're heading down a path that, you know, I think people don't realize they're not going to be happy with what the response will be unless we actually seize the Constitution, roll it up, make a weapon out of it like a bat or a spear and start poking eyes out and pummeling people with the Constitution. And I'm not talking about physical violence. I'm talking about constitutional violence and holding them fully accountable to the Constitution. So it's not that I'm missing these things. I've actually made comments regarding the overturn of Roe v. Wade. And now there's this concept or this, you know, people are talking and I'm getting people to say, you're not talking like everybody else is about this idea that they're going to have in the states, have the federal government move abortion to federal property. Now, I don't know how many of you or those who have called have been listening to my show for very long, but if you've been listening to my show, you understand that the federal government doesn't possess, constitutionally can't possess any land other than military bases, military training, forts, magazines, port yards, those types of things, but that's it. Shipyards, I mean, not port yards. Go look at the type of property they can possess. They can't use U.S. forests. There's no such thing as a U.S. force, and they have no constitutional authority to possess it. It's not in the Constitution. It's not enumerated. And the fact is that they're hearing, and other people are hearing, this conversation on all these different conservative entertainers, and they're actually entertaining this because it spins you up. It gets you frustrated. This is how they make money because, oh, I got to listen to this. I can't believe this. Folks, you need to understand. This is why we go through the ratification debates, so you don't get suckered into listening and actually buying into this. We need to stop buying into what they're telling us they're going to do, and we're going to say, you can't do it because the Constitution doesn't allow that to happen. When it comes down to federal land, let's place this in context. If it's not enumerated, they can't possess it. They can't exercise it. They have no authority to do it. So when we start looking at taxation, let's look at this with another picture here. Is the federal government now going to continue spending money in supporting and paying for abortion around the world? They have no authority of doing this in the first place, and they shouldn't be taxing us to give money to other nations and countries and basically say, if you take this money, you will build it to create, or you'll use it to build these abortion clinics, and you will start aborting babies. You know, that's a very dark day, and when people don't even know that this is happening with their tax dollars, that's exactly what's been happening. Obama was big on this, utilizing tax dollars to promote the homosexual agenda worldwide. It happened under Obama, and Bush allowed some of this stuff to happen too. We have had nothing but globalists as presidents. You know, Trump was a little bit different, but he still bought into, and he loved going and traveling around the world and you know, showing everybody in the globalist community that, you know, America is, you know, we're players, but, you know, we'll decide whether we're going to play or not with you or with them or how we're going to play. And I'm going, you know, the Constitution doesn't allow us to do these things. It's really simple, folks. This is not rocket science. I can't say that enough. So when we start looking at abortion and we start looking at all of these other issues, such as the constitutional carry, and as a matter of fact, I would love to just focus on the constitutional carry for a whole show, because that case, as if you understand the opinion that Clarence Thomas put into that case, boy, it is so eloquent. Because he pointed out the 14th Amendment and how states could not deter the Second Amendment. They could not take away the privileges and immunities. And I get these folks, and I've said this before, that I used to not be a big fan of the 14th Amendment a long, long time ago because that was the prevailing thought. And I didn't know any better, and I never wanted to take the time to learn any different. I go, yeah, I accept that. I see what you're saying. I kind of see, you know, the language and all these insinuations. Okay, that's fine. You know, let's trim things away. But let me give you a different picture. Let me ask you, what part of the Bill of Rights do you like? What parts of the Bill of Rights do you think is essential? And when I say essential, I'm saying essential to your security, essential to your government, essential to your ability to protect and provide for yourself. So when we look at the Bill of Rights, let's just start at the top, right? We'll look at the First Amendment with the Establishment Clause, religious freedom, those fundamental rights of petition, right, and religious expression, And so if we look at the Bill of Rights and the First Amendment, which of those can you live without? In other words, which of those can you believe would be a good thing that the states could suppress? Freedom of speech? Freedom of religion? Freedom of the press? How about the right of petition? Any of those? You think those are essential, inalienable? You got to remember, these are inalienable rights. These right here are absolutely inalienable rights. So you think that allowing the states to abridge these, any of these, would be good? Well, technically, without the 14th Amendment, states aren't held to it. And I hear people all the time, well, the states have their own Bill of Rights. They've got it in there. You know what? They were killing the freedmen right after the Civil War. Some of those states actually had that. And as a matter of fact, Andrew Johnson was going around the country telling people, we've already got these protections in the Constitution. States are good. And while he was saying that, there was this mass slaughter in New Orleans, killing a bunch of freedmen, a bunch of freed black men. And I'm telling you, folks, without the 14th Amendment, the states would really be out of hand, because there's nothing holding them to behaving. They have been historically the bad actors. You hear me say this all the time. Well, what about the right to bear arms, the Second Amendment? Can you live without that? Well, no, of course not. So here's the challenge, and I'm just starting off with the top two. Go through all 10 amendments, and you tell me out of all of these, and technically the last two don't count, right? The last two is the rules of construction of the Constitution, it can't be conferred that they, can take away a power, that are construed that one power can constrain another, what have you. And then the 10th Amendment is states' rights. Those things not delegated or formally delegated to to the federal government through the Constitution is reserved to the states and the people, respectively. Speedy trial by jury, all of these different amendments in the Bill of Rights. Are you telling me that not one of those things is worth keeping? And I would tell you that everybody would say, yes, we want the states to actually protect our right to trial by jury in common law. We want the states to protect our, provisions of prosecution. Right? That we can't be forced or compelled to testify against ourselves or against a family member or, the rights of pride. I mean, look at these and tell me where you find danger in forcing these upon the states. If you can't tell me, then what the heck is what's your point in your argument? Because I get this all the time, and I get this from idiots because they're just old, and I'm old too. But these people have been so set in their ways, they don't want to change their position. And I go, are you kidding me? Prove to me what is bad with any of these amendments and why a state should be able to oppress us in our right to bear arms, our conditions of quartering soldiers. Come on. Seriously? Anyway, as far as I'm concerned, because nobody can come up with a good argument that says, yeah, these amendments, the Bill of Rights, those are bad. We don't want those applied to the states. Let's let the states decide what they want to do. Because history proved otherwise. History has proven that the states have been the bad players. So anyway, my point being this, that once you understand that what the 14th Amendment really does, it actually preserves individual liberty and individual sovereignty at the state, but it doesn't take the encompassing of institutional control, or I should say limitations. In other words, there are two institutions listed in the Bill of Rights: the Establishment Clause, which is a constraint against the federal government from establishing a church. Well, states can actually do that, and states can do good things with that, because last time I checked, a U.S. citizen is not a church itself. Establishing a church would be something different than, because it'd be like establishing a U.S. citizen to worship? No. So when we look at the Establishment Clause as well as the freedom of the press, it's pretty simple, folks. Everything that the 14th Amendment does is very straightforward. We are better off as a nation because of it, especially Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, Section 4 of the 14th Amendment, And we can explain more, but there's a lot of other feedback. So when we come back, we're going to cover the last of the feedback because it's our last segment. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so one of the things that kind of came up is that, you know, people are starting to complain about state agencies. They're starting to complain about, you know, the spending. As a matter of fact, I heard, I forget the gentleman's name, but nevertheless, he made a great comment. It was a very lucid comment because what he basically stated was that when we look at, you know, what the federal government is doing with the printing of money, how can you expect that, you know, all of this money doesn't come with a consequence? In other words, you know, you still want more, you know, little handouts from the federal government. You know, last time they did that, it ratcheted the cost of gas. Every time they print more money, they devalue the dollar. Folks, if you don't understand the fundamentals of inflation and printing money, inflation is driven by more money being in circulation. You want to reduce inflation? Take the currency, take money, and cut it in half. If all of a sudden you made the available dollars floating around, I'm not talking about going into everybody's account and taking and deleting money. I'm saying go to the banks and slowly pull the money out of the banks so that the banks basically get an electronic credit for it and they have the power to, you know, boost that, but take out the dollars in circulation. The more currency in circulation, and actually what they have to do is they have to cancel many of the debts that the banks have been able to come out with. In other words, have all of these loans that the banks have been able to get, because what that means is they have more electronic money to actually put out to you. Well, start pulling that crap back. The fact is that they've been throwing money into the stock market. They're throwing money into these banks and so forth. And so, as this guy commented, you know, you really want the government to print more money just for you? How is that a good thing? You think gas is expensive now? It's going to go beyond $10. They are full force warfare. This is an economic war that our own federal government is actually waging on you, the citizens. And nobody understands this. Oh, well, but they're helping. No, they're not. So This was an interesting conversation, and it actually led me into this follow-on conversation. And it's been a while since I've actually talked to this guy, but as we were talking, it kind of came up as we started talking about blue states and red states and looking at what, you know, some of the recent red states and why they turned blue. And so the question, he begged the question, he says, hey, GR, how is it that Nevada became blue? I mean, it's just one small city, and the majority of Nevada is, you know, this wide open conservative area. If you really look, all the counties are red. And he says, so how could it be that Las Vegas was capable of converting all of Nevada to turn blue? And I said, okay, so what is Las Vegas? And he goes, well, it's a gambling city and so forth. And I go, okay, let me rephrase the question. What makes Las Vegas run? What is in control of the Las Vegas government? And he started thinking of the people and this and that. And I said, no, you don't understand Las Vegas. Do you believe that organized crime is deep in Las Vegas? Oh, yeah. And I go, so do you believe that organized crime, if they're that deep in Las Vegas, do you believe that they are hands off with government? Oh, but they want to corrupt. No, the corruption of organized crime has taken over. They have seized Sin City, and in so doing, they've been able to pervert all of the government. Even though the government or the state capital may be in a different city, far away at the north side of the state, but that doesn't mean that they can't influence. And the corruption of Las Vegas has rotted Nevada, which is why Nevada is going down the tank big time. So one of the things that we need to really start talking about is the issues that we have to campaign on. We've already provided that to you, and I need to get that up. But what I want actually to get you to think about, because I just had this conversation today, it was a great idea, and the idea is trying to get everybody to start including the original 13th Amendment and reprinting the Constitution with all 28 amendments, including the 13th Amendment from 1810. Not the Emancipation Proclamation that drove the 13th Amendment that you're familiar with, the ending of slavery. But what we're talking about is the Nobility Clause and ending a person from, if you accept a title of nobility and or emoluments, you can no longer be a U.S. citizen, which means you can't run for office and you can't vote. And so we'll explain most of this later because we're almost out of time. But what we want you to understand is if we can start promoting the 13th Amendment and being included, the original 13th Amendment, and being included in your Constitution, you start reading this, you go, huh, this is kind of interesting. And it's a build off of the Nobility Clause in the Constitution. It takes it one step further because what it does is it basically clarifies that you can't be a citizen by receiving emoluments either from a foreign state, a foreign potent, sovereign, what have you. And so the intent is, and the reason we're looking at getting behind this, or actually I'm pretty committed to getting behind this, is because I believe this begs the question of definitizing the Constitution. Now, what we need to do, and what I need to do, is I need to kind of clean up my articles. I need to clean up the Bill of Rights or that comprehensive issues or positions for campaigning that we've spent the last 2 months on. I need to get those things cleaned up and I need to get them posted. But it's summertime and this is the time when I am actually running in every direction because I got to mow the lawn. I've got to take care of all of the things because now is the time to get those projects done that kind of hit you in the face in the wintertime. Well, that got broke. Well, we got to fix that. But it's what you can't go out there because it's frozen or you can't get to it or, you know, everything has been winterized that you can't get to the tools. Anyway, I think you get the picture. So bottom line, you know, in the wintertime in our state, in most northern latitude states, at least in our house, when we winterize, getting access to every tool and everything is just too hard. We got to get rid of some stuff. I get it. But bottom line, winterizing is, you know, a time where you kind of have to resign to say that'll have to wait. And now that'll have to wait has come to fruition. It's time to do those things. This is why my schedule is the most hectic of the time of year. And with the fact that I'm the one that benefits on all these early primaries, but I'm still the one that still wants to see all of the primaries happen in the summertime, because I think that's better for all of us. It's better for you, and I think it's better for our government as well. So what we need to do is we really want you to start getting informed and aware of these positions to campaign on. Many of these ideas, I believe, because the feedback I get is really overwhelming, many of these ideas, most people go, wow, I mean, that make all elections local? That's a good idea. Actually, it's a constitutional paradigm. All of these positions that we created, so once we get these things up, and hopefully by the next Feedback Friday, we'll have some candidates on the hook here, and we'll also have, you know, some good information. We've got this post, we got this post, we got this post. So we're hoping to get some stuff up and posted, and we're hoping to actually, you know, have some candidates, because like I said at the very beginning, if you think you're busy, if you think, you know, you're so poor on time you can't even pay attention, right, then I'm telling you that these candidates are even worse. They're running ragged, and it doesn't help. It doesn't help when you've got your own government waging economic warfare against you so that you can't even afford the gas to go and do the campaign to get people informed on why they need to vote for you. I've said it a couple of times. I started off with this, and I know I've said it a couple of times over the course of these shows when it became official with Paul Venable running. We have some really quality people out there, and we're putting up, some of them aren't listed yet. I mean, their names are up there, but we just don't have their website or how you can donate, those types of things. But my point is that we do, the ones we do have, I've been asking you for years. I ask you every year to save money for the election season, to put money aside, you know, try not to drive so much so you can save the money from $1 of gas. And instead of putting it in your tank, put it in the bank so that you can actually throw that money and give some love to people that are actually going to stand up and support your liberty and support your sovereignty by supporting the Constitution, whether that be in their state, whether that be at the federal government, it doesn't matter. And whether it's not in your state, more importantly, if you're in a blue state, you need these people more than ever because they're the anchors that will save you. We need your help. And bottom line, as repugnant as you may think it is that, you know, there's money in politics, if we're not going to stand up and throw some funds out there, then those who are, like Soros, they're going to continue buying America and buying American government and politics. And we can't afford that, folks. We can't afford it. So hopefully you can find some ways between now and next Feedback Friday to throw love to Paul Venable and the rest of these folks. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.